the Lord brought this to me because of our little meeting yesterday, and it was nice, you know, when you've been through a situation and the Lord has brought you through and you're able to say, yeah, it is, that's true. Well, Dennis had said to us that the Lord was speaking to him through the Spirit, to him personally, and he said it was like an intimate fellowship with him. And he said, but gosh, when I try to tell somebody, they don't want to hear that. And I said, well, Dennis, it's draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I said, if he tells you to tell him, you tell him. But if not, don't say it. Because what you're doing, it would be draw me and we will run after you. Oh, they're going to love this. But I said, there comes a time in your life that you just have to enjoy your time and your oneness with the Lord. And accepted or rejected, it's still in here. And it's a secret thing that God has given to his people. And I want us today to go to Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, they belong unto us, to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And I was thinking of how the Word of God, you know, it's what's going to build you up. It's there to correct you, approve, reprove. But we have to have His Word. But when you spend time with Him, how many times do we go, I don't understand this, Lord? But then the Lord reveals it. To reveal something to us means He's unveiling it. He's rolling it over, roll it back so you can see what it is. And that came out in testimony, too, that just praying to God and asking Him and then going to the Word of God, and it looked like there was a light bulb just on certain verses. And he was so excited about that. And that's something I miss, seeing an excitement of the Word of God. You know, what did you get from it? What are you learning? Because every time we share one with another what we're learning, it keeps going. It's an eternal ring of security. It's that band of love. It's the what has knitted us together. It's like, but usually I think it's just lacking so much that there's just not enough. It's not just fellowship getting together to do things. It's fellowshipping around the Word of God. And, you know, that is a level because you're walking in it, you're talking, showing the love of God. But there's something so much deeper than those things. You can't make someone see this. They have to learn it. But I do, you have to ask God, will you reveal this to me? Will you draw me into a deeper love than all these things? And it doesn't mean you're not going to do those things. It means your attitude is, there's nothing going to satisfy you like the Word of God. There's nothing going to satisfy you than being in the presence of the Lord. And let him speak secret things unto you. But it said, and unto my family. To my family. It's like, because the mother, as I begin to take this in, I share it with my children, my husband, my grandchildren. And it just keeps going from there. And it's like, we want it to start where? It must begin in the home. If what we're doing is all on the outside and doing it all out here, but it doesn't start in the home, there's something out of order. That's where it's supposed to begin. So Deuteronomy 29:29 is secret things do belong unto God, but he reveals it to us. And then if you go over to Acts 1:7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. His power. They don't have a power. They have not been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. But he put it in his own power. This is the Father's power. But you, when there's but, there's a change coming. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You are going to be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the utter uttermost parts of the earth. Now I want us to go over to John, and you'll see why we have these things. We're going to go to John and verse 17. This is about the resurrection and the life. This is when Lazarus has died, okay? And we're going to start on 17. Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he was laying in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Mary and to Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. As we do today, you go to them, you comfort them because of the loss of their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, and I get this, as soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. She went right there immediately. He's coming, I'm going out to meet him. But Mary, there's something else with this woman. Martha is cumbered about with so much always, but she does have a love for the truth. But Mary, why didn't Mary get up? Why didn't she get up and run to go meet him? Mary sat still in the house. She just sat still. First of all, her brother has died. She's sitting still. And we know Mary always sat at the feet of Jesus and she learned of him. I believe Mary learned how to weep and to pray, to call unto the Lord. And she learned that stillness and that quietness, that is strength unto us when we can just kneel down and wait. Be in content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But it said she sat there and she sat still. She didn't do anything. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you'll ask of God, God's going to give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. How many of us as saints are we just believing for the resurrection of that day? We're to be walking in the resurrection and the life of Jesus right now. What was it that the Jew had done? They didn't just reject Jesus, they rejected the risen Christ. How many of saints today are we accepting and walking in the risen Christ in our new life? Or are we rejecting him? Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Well, what about us? The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He loved me. He gave himself for me that I could have life now. I didn't have to remain in sin. I could become a brand new man. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We're a new creation. Are we believing that? Are we walking on sinking sand? Or are we walking on resurrection ground? Are we taking our place on the rock, believing? And he told her, he said, and whosoever liveth, believeth in me, shall never die. We hear this all the time. His people, God, the new creation life is not going to die. They already died with Christ. He said, you're going to die once. It's when have you taken your place in death? Believers will go to sleep. As far as the other, the provisional side is being worked in his saints today. That's what we're waiting for. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, showing us to be quiet and to be still. And that means when turbulent, when things are going on around us. I thought I was going to talk about Paul today and how many perilous things he went through. It wasn't just one. It was many, many, many perilous things. And we know we're living in perilous times. But his was perils. He would go through times of danger and it looked like he'd never make it out. But God, Mary will be quiet and she will wait. until he calls for her. Your brother is going to rise again. Martha said to him, I know. And we keep going. Said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me is not going to die. Believest thou this? He asked a question. Do you believe that, Martha? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. What was his question? The question was, Lord, he said, whosoever live, believe in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? She said to him, yeah, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ. I believe you're the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way. And what did she do? She called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come, and he's calling for thee. He's calling for you, Mary. What did Mary do? Said, he's calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. But do you notice? She didn't get up until he called her, until she found out he said to come. She came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come in the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. In the Jews, which were with her in the house, they comforted her. And when they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. That wasn't why she was going there. She was going because Jesus had called for her. If she wanted to go out to the grave and weep, she could have already done that. But maybe she will when she gets there. But that's not why she went. She got up because he called her unto himself. Then Mary was come where Jesus was. She saw him. What did Mary do? What she's used to doing. She fell down at his feet. A very place of humbleness and humility, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And she said to him, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping. Now see, she's weeping now, but that's not, she got up because he called her to go there. And the Jews also, they're weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man that he should not have died? It's because they're looking through the human eyes. They're looking through a natural man's ability to see, reasoning of their own mind. Jesus doesn't see it like that. He is alive. He is alive. And then he goes away, and I love it. He just said, take away the stone. And I always think when you take away the stone, get the unbelief out of the way. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. Okay, so you had two women, Mary and Martha. This is at the death of a brother. Who ran out first? Who sat still? Who was quiet? What did they do when they saw Jesus? Did Martha drop down to his feet? No. Mary did. That's her place of peace, contentment, comfort, her Lord. Now you go over to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 38. This is when Jesus is coming to their house, and we'll see what happens there. One is very hospitable. Jesus visits Mary and Martha. It came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister, and her sister's name was Mary. And also, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, here we go about Martha again. Martha's name means a lady, a mistress, and she's known for hospitality. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But there's more. There's more than just hospitality. And that doesn't mean we're going to leave it totally out. It's attitude of heart. And her sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was so cumbered. She's anxious. She's like, I got to do this and I got to get this done. Oh my goodness, and this and this and this. About was what? Much serving. Sometimes we get so caught up, and I believe it was the Shulamite. Don't get caught up in your gifts and your graces. Get caught up in him. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She came to him and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Why, can you make her get up? She's making me do this all by myself. Now, Martha, you need to have a right attitude, because if you did, you wouldn't care. She left me alone. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Lord, will you tell her? And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha. Twice he called her name. Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You are troubled about many things. He said, we know through the scripture he told us, let your request, don't tell him to do something, let your request be made known unto God and give thanks unto him, not just because he's going to answer it, but because when you're coming to God in reverence and humility, it's like, I'm asking you, Lord, I'm giving a request, but I'm going to give thanks unto God because I know whom I believed in. I'm persuaded you're the only one that can do this. But Martha, she's troubled. And she said, bid her. You bid her. Bid her that she come and help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're so careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and it is needed. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She's chosen the most important part. I want to know him. I want to sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him. I already know about me. I already know about people and their ugly flesh. I want to know about Jesus, the Savior, who took it all on him, that made a way and brought all this love into the world. How is it, Lord? What have you done with this? Shared it again this week. The old account. It was settled long ago. Mary's learning these things because she's quiet and she's resting. Are we resting in the Lord? Well, you have to labor to enter into rest. You have to study. You have to understand and walk with him. He only can bring you into this complete rest, perfect rest, not a little rest here and a little rest here. He's teaching us how to take our place in Christ and rest in all things. In other words, you're sitting and you're quiet and you're resting. If he wants you to do something, listen. He's going to call you for the part he would have you to do. But what you do, I guarantee you, if you're studying in the Word of God and you're just humble before him, what you do is going to be by God's grace and grace alone. And there's going to be rest. There's going to be peace, contentment. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen it, that good part. See, I think of the good part, the good fight of faith. What is that? That's a winning faith. That's what's going to win. We're so caught up in how do we win this and how do we get the victory and how do we this and how do we turn to Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He's your faith. He started it. He's going to finish it. He's doing the good work. He's working it upon the tables of our heart. And he says, as you take this in, and I'm telling you, this cuts me. And not have to worry about, oh, is my brother ever going to get out of prison? Oh, how can I help? Should we get a lawyer? Should we this? No. Be still and know that I am God. I see everything and I know everything. I'll tell you, if you just get that one thing, I'm watching, I see, and I hear. Remember the children when they were, Pharaoh had them under bondage? He heard them. He heard them. He saw their affliction. He knew what they were going through. But he didn't tell them that they had to do and you better do this. God was already preparing a way out. He was preparing the man that they couldn't see him. He's hidden. But God is preparing Moses that he will come and lead my people out. You're going to take them out of this. Lead them out. And of course, Moses, who am I? Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. And really and truthfully, when God calls you to do something and you step out, what, by faith, because you know it was his voice, what if the whole world thinks it's not, God didn't tell you that? How many times do you hear that in society? I'm sure God never told you that. Well, why? Because it doesn't measure up to what I think, but does it measure up to the word of God? That's what matters. He doesn't do everything the same every time with every person. And we put Jesus in a box. If he did it that way for Charles, he's going to do it that way for Helen. No, that's not God. And it was like learning individuality. We're all individuals before him. And what we do is unto him. Mom and I talked about this weekend, you know. It's like I'm somebody and she's somebody. We're in the Lord. She has desires I don't have. And I have desires that she don't have. But we have to come to God. There's where the oneness is. It points everything to him. And that's when you're going to enjoy one another. That's when you're going to have peace one with another. That's when you're going to have the love. You're going to know what real joy is. What is fellowship? To me, fellowship is fellowshipping around the word that we can enjoy the communion. We can enjoy oneness, that we understand it's all in remembrance for what he did for me and you and you. He did it all for us. And that's what we're sharing one with another is the grace message. Nothing else. There won't be judging. So when you start to judge, as my brother, I'm telling you, I learned some great things. He used to say, I would just, Lord, you just take care of him. You know what he does now? And this is, God did this. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. They need to be blessed. You see, they need to be blessed. They need to have a blessing from you. Because when you're blessed from him, you're going to rise up in a new way and a new thought and new actions. And it was like, Lord, just bless them. He said, I used to not even think about it. I said, well, you've grown. You've grown. You see, you've grown because now when the thought comes, casting down every thought, every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. And he, you know, it's not like he said, I don't have to really do anything. I just believe that he showed me. Now when this comes, we already know these things are going to be here. Who's going to overcome this? And, you know, just by experience, that's all I can talk about. But it's like, I remember I had forgiven. I believed I had. And it was like the Lord showed me because something happened and I was getting so bitter towards that person again. And the Lord said, that's not healthy for you. That's not healthy for you. And he goes, you continue to ask God, bless them, Lord, pray for them. Job prayed for his friends. He had to pray for them. And trust me, he said, prayed for his friends? Friends like that? Do I really need them? Think of what his friends were doing. What have you done, Job? You've done this or you've done that. He had to pray for them. Why? Because we all have to grow. Maybe what they're doing, they didn't even realize. They're just standing in what they truly believe. But it's like, you have to wait. No one wants to wait. We want everything fixed today. And if you rest, don't think everybody else is going to rest. They may try to help to fix it too. And it does. I know I'm speaking through truth. It's like the Lord is saying, I want you to rest. Stop trying to do it. Let me do everything for you. That's when, if a husband takes his place for a wife, he's caring for her. He's protecting her. What else does she have to do but respect him and pray for him and love him, adore him, worship? It's the same thing with Christ. This is where the true worshipers come in. They're worshiping in spirit and in the truth. That's how they worship. And that's true worship. And I will say before I close that if the Lord leads on your heart and you just want to shout the glory, you shout the glory. Because if there's a voice telling you, better be quiet, that's not God. Fear is not of God. You must be free and free indeed. Take your place in the heavenlies, and if you feel a liberty that he's given you, you take it. You take it and rejoice in the Lord. He stands by you. He's watching over you. I know what it's like to pray and to have to wait at an altar, but what happens when you're waiting and the Lord says, come, I want you to lead out. I don't want to lead out. That's what we do. Well, I don't want to lead out. I let out 4 weeks ago. I let out 4 times. They'll think I'm just trying to do it all. That's because that's how the flesh thinks. That is not God. Yield to it and see what happens because you're never going to know. And Dennis told me this, and I thank God I knew it was not him. I knew it was the Lord. How many times has God asked you to do something? Or he gave you a new way? Or he pointed a new direction? He said, I would give anything to go back. That's a sad thing. I would do anything to go back and to have listened when he said, do this or come this way. It's not an easy road. You got to go this way. No, he chose this one, and it was wrong. And he's suffering the loss. And it's like, that's what we have to do. If God is yielding, he wants us to. And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you guys. I have to take this for myself. How many times, Penny, have I told you? I've called you. I've said it's okay. Take that step. Take that step. You don't even know what's beyond that step because you won't take it. Take the step. Come forward. Press towards me. I have more things for you. Thank God he is so faithful. That's how I sing. Faithful is he who calleth us. Faithful is he who's going to do it. And I believe that God is truly going to work a work in my brother's heart. He may be in prison. And most people get caught in prison. That's what people look at. Prison. How long is he there for? Life. What did he do? You see, it's like get caught up here, down here. Well, I guarantee you, let me tell you something. Had Jesus not come, you would all be behind bars. We would all be there. That's where we were. And he set us free. And that's why we need to praise and rejoice and share that grace. Share that grace message one with another. I had the best time. I really did. Even taking homemade cinnamon rolls to my brother. He said, only bring 2. And the Lord said, you're going to take 3. And I said, no, he's diabetic. 3. Kept coming to me. 3. So I go to heat it up for him. And I won't be here this afternoon, so I'm telling it. I go to heat it up for him. And this little black guy comes up there by me. And he goes, whoa, that don't look like a store-bought cinnamon roll to me. I said, that's not. I said, that's a homemade cinnamon roll. I made that for my brother. And he said, oh man, that looks good. He was a visitor. And I said, would you like to have one? He said, are you kidding me? I said, no, you can have one. I have an extra one. And he took that, and I go, the Lord knew. The Lord knew. I don't know why he had me take a cinnamon roll. I don't know why that happened. But before I left, I don't know those people. I went over there, and we're talking about the cinnamon roll. I got to meet another inmate. He's just a person. He's a person who made a mistake. And we make them every day. And I loved it because there was still love. And he gave me a little fist bump. It was just sweet. And I thank God for the love that we're able to share just through a cinnamon roll. See, it's not getting up behind the pulpit. It's not all that stuff. Just do what I ask you to do. And look, at Rod Moynihan is gone. Where's my cup of water? It's not up here. He always puts a cup of water right here. If just a cup of water I place within your hands, it's only a cup of water that I'm going to demand. That's it. But I've tasted it. I remember when it was here. I love it. It seems like a little thing. It's not little. I'm so thirsty. But he always brings it up here, and it's right here. Here's the last cup of water that was on the pulpit when Gene Hawkins spoke. Same thing. But Rod would always come up. And it's not Rod. It's Jesus. I'm going to get you a cup of water, Penny. You know, it's so sweet to know with Jesus and just to walk with him. Let's all stand.